This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. Some people expecting to play Assassin's Creed Unity wound up playing Five Nights at Freddy's. Maybe reviews could have stopped that. Plus, Jeff Keighley is putting his money where his mouth is with the new gaming awards show. Tonight is November 16th, 2014, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bobby? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
How much do I like you guys? I bet my doctor wouldn't want me doing this show tonight. I probably would be doing this against his orders if I had told him. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And if you're on the site, you can check in and get points, just like ActDeft and Raginator. They were the first two to check in and get points. If you're listening on the podcast somewhere, you will find a passphrase. And if you enter that in on the site, you can get the exact same amount of points. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up the Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. One thing to note, in 2 weeks, there will not be a live show. There may be a tape show, depending on if I can get somebody to interview, because I will not be available that Sunday night, the November 30th. Because I have other commitments that afternoon, and I will not get home in time, so there will be no live show that night. There will be a live show next week, so don't worry about that. And people are asking if I'm currently doing the show from the ER. No. I had my wisdom teeth and stuff extracted on Thursday in an emergency procedure. Like, I didn't know until Monday morning it was going to happen. But it's been over 72 hours, and I sound okay. So, and I'm not numb anymore. That's why I bet the doctors will be fine with it. I'm just trying to, you know, ramp up the tension. Am I going to make it through the entire show, or is my jaw going to like dislocate if I keep talking? That's the way. Am I going to become a Five Nights at Freddy's character? That's going to be the question. We got some stuff to talk about tonight, and the first story that I want to talk about is it's about Assassin's Creed Unity. Now, this game came out, and it was kind of interesting because this is really like there's a whole lot of talk out there on the internet about ethics in gaming reviews and stuff like that. And this is prime example number one. This is prime subject number one of what people should be concentrating on. And it's kind of interesting that it's taken this and it's taken some big name sites to, you know, come out ahead of this and, you know, kind of make a statement about it, even though a lot of people are saying it's too little too late, whatever. But Assassin's Creed Unity came out and review embargoes were held until after the game came out. It was actually noon on the day of release where there were midnight launches. So Ubisoft was actually telling outlets, no, you can't release your review of this until noon after people have already had 12 hours to buy it. So the BBC reports that wide-ranging glitches in Assassin's Creed Unity have sent its publisher Ubisoft attacked by players, the press, and its own investors. Shares in the firm dipped as much as 12.8% after Tuesday's launch. It has been suggested the game was not rated for release. Ubisoft has been criticized for delaying reviews until after the title had gone on sale. The French company said that it was working on fixes. They say, quote, "We are currently working on our next update that will help address some of the specific issues some players are having, including the protagonist falling through the ground, game crashing when joining a co-op session, Arno getting caught inside of hay carts, delay in reaching the main menu screen at game start," unquote, and furthermore. In a further statement, Ubisoft added that the complexity of creating a multiplayer title in which players join forces via the internet was the reason the game had only become available for review relatively late in the day. However, it did not explicitly address the point that it had made reviewers agree to an embargo set time 12 hours after the game went on sale in the East Coast of the U.S. Consumers have posted screenshots and videos online indicating that problems affect all platforms the game had been released on, the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. A patch was provided on day one to tackle random crashes and some animation issues. Rob Crossley, the UK news editor of GameSpot, says, quote, "The glitches are so bad it's become a source of mockery. There are characters that float past the screen. The main protagonist walks in the air. People are falling through the floor. People's faces are disappearing mid-kiss. If a publisher has proven it can't publish a game properly and displeases its core user base, then I think there are legitimate questions to be made about how well the company will fare in the future," unquote. Polygon's Ben Kuchera, which I know is everybody's favorite person, says, quote, "There's no valid reason for a review embargo such as this. It's blatantly anti-consumer and likely designed to get the first rush of hardcore fans into the store to buy their copies of the game before the reviews hit. Any embargo past midnight the night before is sketchy as hell. It's a way to weaponize embargoes, and the best thing to do is to hold off until you can read about the game in detail," unquote. Two other high-profile games, Destiny and Drive Club, also had post-release embargoes placed on them this year, while Sega did not send out any pre-release copies of Sonic Boom, Shattered Crystal, or Rise of Lyric at all. All of the titles subsequently received mixed scores. So it's spokesman for Ubisoft denied that the firm acted out as a lack of respect for customers. The spokesman said, quote, "The nature of the games themselves and the way they are being reviewed is changing, as evidenced by games like Assassin's Creed Unity, Destiny, and The Crew, games that have significant online components. Having the online elements available and having populated worlds is essential to creating a representative and complete experience for reviewers. Achieving this prior to launch is incredibly complex, which is why some games are being reviewed much closer, as was the case with Destiny, even after the game launches. We are working to adjust our services and communications with consumers accordingly, both by changing the way we work with reviewers and by offering customers open betas or other early access to some games so they have the infrastructure they need and want," unquote. What they're basically saying, it's that because Assassin's Creed Unity is apparently an online game, which I actually did not realize it was an online-only game, they could not have the single-player portion reviewed. And unfortunately, here's the thing. They're like, oh, review embargoes, they're until noon. Okay? And this is where Ubisoft might have, you know, kind of misstepped on this. Like, oh, well, we delayed the reviews coming out until noon. Most people's reviews, especially at the big sites, their review of Assassin's Creed Unity was done, edited, and ready to post probably the day before, or maybe even the day before that. They had completed their review long before the game launched. They were just waiting for the clock to strike the embargo time to put it up. So they didn't really do themselves any favors, because the exact same review that would have been posted at midnight got posted at noon. Now, Dungeon Buster is one of the chatters. He's been playing it. He played the PC version. And he said he actually he's been streaming it as well on Twitch, and I've been watching it. He says, it's really too bad. Beneath the technical garbage, there's an interesting game there. A patch finally fixed my crash issues, but that should never been a problem in the first place. I think the last time I couldn't play a game due to crashes was way back in the 90s, I think, with Daggerfall during the good old DOS days. And some people are also talking about other games here. Tiger Claw says, despite all the negative reviews that Sonic Boom the game has been getting, the TV show it's based on is pretty good. Well, the TV show and the game are being done by completely different things. Sonic Boom, Sonic Boom falls into the same problem as a licensed game, like a licensed movie game. It was rushed to coincide with the property, the main TV or movie properties. In this case, it's a TV show. It was rushed, and that's where a lot of its problems come in. Same problem that plagued E.T. on Atari 2600, actually. Buchigawa says, playing Let's Plays of Sonic Boom on YouTube, you can tell that it looks how bad it looks through that resolution. So it's going to be much worse playing the game live. I'm more worried about the changes to Knuckles. Now, Dungeon Buster does point out something that I actually did see. There are chests in Assassin's Creed Unity that you can only open after using a Unity app. So there are chests in the single-player game that you can only open if you have an online connection and you use an app on your phone. There is content in the single-player game that you can only open via a smartphone app. I don't like this. I don't like where this is going. Kaijudo says, I'm more shocked that people are still buying Assassin's Creed of Duty. And that was the other thing that was brought up, is that they actually put out two completely different Assassin's Creed games on the same day. Because Assassin's Creed Rogue is on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. They did not even send out those review copies until the day of, until the day they released. And I know that we have some reviewer friends, you know, not for VOG, but they specifically requested the last gen versions and they didn't get them. So they weren't even sending those to sites until the day of. So they couldn't even start working on their reviews until the game was already out. And it's a lot of the same things that happen with movies. If they're not confident in how a game's going to score, a lot of companies will delay delay sending the game or put on a review embargo like this. The Sonic Boom, Sega didn't send out review copies to anybody. So outlets went out and bought the game at a store and reviewed it that way. And that's how they got their review. But on the other side, what really happened interesting this week was that there's another major publisher, EA. They were so confident in how well their game was going to be reviewed that they allowed reviews to go up a week early. And that's Dragon Age Inquisition. Now, to be fair, it is now available. The first 6 hours are available on EA Access for people on Xbox One. But they were so confident in the game that they allowed reviews to go up early. And it's getting 9, 9.5, all that stuff. So it sounds like it's going to be a really good game. And that's one of the things about that's kind of sucks about the symbiotic relationship that unfortunately that game reviewers and the gaming and the game developers and publishers, really it's more the publishers in this sense, the symbiotic relationship that exists, because game reviewers can't do their job in a timely fashion for what the consumer would want without assistance from the game publisher, because they need to be able to get the stuff early. But game publishers then hold all the cards, because they could either say, well, you don't get to post. If you do post about this early, we aren't going to send you any more stuff in the future, which may be a risk somebody would want to take. If something is that bad, they may want to take that risk. But consumers don't think that game reviewers are going to be as truthful because they're getting free stuff from the publisher, because they do have people that they know at the publisher. And that's kind of the crux of the argument. And I don't know how to solve that. I honestly don't. You know, because the publishers can use this embargo as, you know, a way to bully people into not saying anything until after it's too late. I personally have no problem with embargoes that are expired the minute the game goes on sale, because that gives everybody a chance to, you know, do their due diligence on it and not rush through it, especially if you have the game so far in advance. You know, you can actually take your time through it, and then, you know, everybody's post goes up at the same time, so you're not trying to be the first to market, basically. So I'm okay with those. I'm not okay with the embargo. I'm even better with embargoes that expire like the day before or 2 days before, so consumers can actually read about it before midnight or whatever. But I don't like the embargoes taking place afterwards, saying, oh, you know, you can't post about it until after 12 hours that the game's been on sale. I think that's wrong. Dungeon Buster says, movie industry, basically no early screenings is usually a bad sign for the film in question. And Dungeon Buster does talk about Assassin's Creed Rogue. He said, it's actually pretty good. And it's also said that it's getting overlooked because of the brouhaha over Unity. Rachinator says, what if someone doesn't have a smartphone to use the phone apps? We can't access Unity's chess. I call BS. See, there you go. What if somebody doesn't want a smartphone in their life? Now, Buchigawaz does bring up an interesting point that I wish we could do, but I don't think this is going to be possible. Maybe we as consumers should stop buying things day one too much emphasis on this in crunch time, it won't kill people to wait a week. I don't think that's going to happen. We as a society we're big on the launch day. I mean, even on movies, you know, the biggest weekend's the opening weekend. Everybody wants to see it first. Everybody wants to play it first. While that would be nice, in reality, you know, the launch week of a game, the launch day and the launch week of a game are the most important sales times of a game. Very few games have a long tail, which basically means it sells more over time. One game that I can think of, Katamari Damacy, way back in the day, that one actually sold more the more weeks it was out. Most games, they make the majority of their sales the first week, and then it tapers off. All the day one editions, all the collectibles. See, day one editions, collectibles. Now they're doing day zero editions. I think Call of Duty had a day zero edition that was out on Monday that you could play instead of Tuesday if you bought it digitally instead of at the Evil G. And Sky does bring up Minecraft is the best example of a long tail game. That's true. Minecraft is something, and especially because it's so accessible to the kids. That's really, yeah, but that's also, Minecraft is also the exception rather than the rule. It's very much so the exception. But a lot of people chase after the exceptions. Everybody wants to be the next exception to the rule. And a lot of times the exceptions for the rule come out of nowhere. And Sky does say, if only journalists had a place to discuss some of these issues together, like a mailing list. I don't even know if I want to touch that. Brad from Pod Culture said, I bought my day one Forza Horizon 2 weeks after release. And that's possible, too. Like, they don't necessarily sell out, and they still have the day one edition codes in them. So it's really interesting. You know, we don't do that many reviews on Vogue because we don't have that many people writing reviews, although I think that's changing a little bit very, very soon. So we don't have that many reviews on Vogue, but we do. We'll be upfront. We do tell you how we got the game, and we do actually respect embargoes. If somebody says there's an embargo on the game, we do respect that. And usually the games we review, the embargoes are very reasonable, like they're 3 a.m. on the day it comes out, which basically like when the game unlocks in Steam, we can post our review up. And that's pretty standard, and we do respect those. So full disclosure on that. Sky says, a lot of indie games are long-tail games. Five Nights at Freddy's, Slender Man are kind of long-tail games. My point is, support indies. Another story that I want to talk about is about something we usually made fun of, and it turns out we're not going to be able to make fun of something this year because Spike TV has decided to not do as much video game stuff, especially since Game Trailers is no more. You know, they got rid of the company, Viacom sold it off, got rid of it, blah, blah, blah. But Polygon reports that earlier this week, Jeff Keighley announced the Game Awards 2014, a night of new game reveals, new trailers, and awards stream live from Las Vegas on December 5th in front of a live, potentially massive audience. It's a show created with the help of a powerful advisory board that includes leaders from Activision, Electronic Arts, Konami, Microsoft, Nintendo, Rockstar, Sony, Valve, Ubisoft, and Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment. Keighley, who's been covering the industry for so much of his life, is not just producing the two-hour show, he's paying for it out of his own pocket. He told Polygon, quote, the investment is my own. I'm bankrolling it, and we're trying to sell some sponsorships, but there's no submission fees, unquote. He's also hoping to earn back the money from renting Planet Hollywood's Access Theater in Vegas through tickets, which went on sale earlier this week for $45 each, but there's no safety net. Here's what he says, quote, there's a fair amount of risk involved. I thought about doing a Kickstarter, but I would feel awkward doing that. I think I need to take this on myself to prove I can do it. I need to prove to anyone that this is going to be great. If I were to kickstart it, and there would have been a fair amount of skepticism. Maybe in future years when there's a model like that, but the way people can support it this year is by tuning in, or coming out to Vegas, telling their friends about it, unquote. So, you know, Jeff Keighley does get a lot of flack, especially for being the Dorito Pope and Mountain Dew and all that stuff. But the guy is putting his own money, which maybe you can claim because he sold out to Mountain Dew and Doritos. He now has the money to bankroll this, but at least now he's bankrolling this himself. He's not saying, I've been covering this for all my life. I've been a TV person. I've been on, you know, done all this stuff. I have all this money. Here, pay for my idea for a Game Awards show. No, he's actually going out and he's going to say, I'm going to put my own, I'm going to risk my net. He's not saying how much he's risking, but he's risking a lot of money in the hopes that he makes something that you're going to appreciate. He's not going to have cable television executives telling him what he needs to do. He's not going to have, you know, people forcing celebrities and stuff down his throat. He's going to basically not only he's the person the money's coming from. So not only is he's really executive producing it, but he doesn't answer to anybody but himself because it's his money and plus a few sponsorships. So the Game Awards are happening the day before the PlayStation Experience kicks off in Vegas, a massive PlayStation-themed public event put together by Sony. And Keeley hears that Microsoft might be doing something for the fans around the show as well. The big question remains is what will the show be? Could it be feature skits or celebrity hosts, live performances, or endless acceptance speeches? Keeley is still keeping most of those details to himself. He says, quote, "There may be a little bit of celebrity if it makes sense. It may have a little music. I don't want to do DICE or GDC awards with just the awards," unquote. And instead, the mandate of the Game Awards premiere is to celebrate not just the games and game makers, but the game players, too. He said, quote, "We're going to focus more on the players. Maybe we'll see awards for esports, for some of the people who play games, not just the developers. I want to unite everyone under the same room. We have a massive theater in Las Vegas that can hold 5,000 people. I want to get people in the industry, fans, and press, and bring everyone together in a room to celebrate our industry. We all love games. We love this medium, and that's the theme I want to carry through the show. Both in terms of how we talk about games and how we celebrate our industry, I want to recognize creators and players on the same stage," unquote. So, reading chat, I can tell I am in the minority. I applaud him for this. I applaud him for taking his own, and he makes more money than most other game journalists because he does the TV. You know, he's done a lot of TV work and he's done a lot of high profile magazine work, more than just writing on a website. He does make more than a lot of the majority of the other game industry game journalists, quote unquote. And he's done some really good actual journalism work. We can sit here and talk about the game journalism part of it, part of things, and that there really is no such thing as game journalism. But if there was, and I think there is, there are only a few people that have been capable of doing actual journalist stuff within the game industry. And Jeff Keighley is one of them, especially with his postmortems on Half-Life and Portal, and when he does the things that he released, I can't remember. I'm blanking on the name. The Last Days of, I think, is what he calls them. And he's done them where he embeds himself in the game studio during the crunch time before the release of a game, and he reports on it. Dean Takahashi also does a really good job when he embeds himself in with Microsoft when they launch the Xbox and then launch the Xbox 360. That's real journalism. There's not a lot of that in gaming, and there's not a lot of opportunity for that in gaming. But he's one of them. And so I know that a lot of people in chat are ragging on him and stuff. And, if he didn't sell out with the Doritos and Mountain Dew, would he be able to afford to do this? I don't care about that. The fact is, he's not asking people to pay for it unless you want to actually be there and you pay $45 to be in the room. And I think that deserves us to give him the benefit of the doubt. And now that he's not answering to cable TV overlords, maybe he is going to do the right thing, or maybe he just doesn't get it. We'll find out, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to actually support this and watch it. It's going to be available on any streaming. He's got a deal with Microsoft and Sony and Twitch so far, and he's going to try to stream it anywhere else. It's going to be completely streaming, not on television, no commercials, no TV commercial breaks. There's going to be sponsorships and commercials in there, I'm sure. But I am not as jaded and pessimistic at this as it seems most of the chat room is. Now, Tackerclaw says, hopefully this award show focuses more on the awards and not the endless amount of promotions for upcoming games. I think one of the things it did say somewhere else, because I didn't read the entire article, is that it is going to really wants to focus on the present and the future of gaming. So there are going to be a lot of previews and trailers and announcements and stuff. He does want to keep that element because honestly, at the when he was doing the VGAs and the VGXs, that's what most people wanted. You know, the thing about the VGX last year that we all watched and made fun of, the one thing that I got excited about was the No Man's Sky preview. So I think that the future, he is going to concentrate on the future. Because that's what most people have shown that they really liked. That was the positive reaction. And not spending so much time with celebrities. The negative part was the celebrities and the skits. But the positive was really the previews and some of the developer reactions to the awards. Gaijudo says, I'm not a fan of Jeff, never have been, but this sounds like a good idea. And ActF says, I'm kind of with him, but instead of not being a fan, I just don't really care for the guy. But this idea is actually great. Intelligent comments, man. I don't know. I don't think that's true. Intelligent comments, man, says, so are these going to be honest awards or kiss-ass awards like most of them? One thing I did read is that there is going to be no fee to submit yourself for nomination, which is a hurdle that happens with the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences Awards. You have to be a member of that academy to be able to be nominated, which I think Capcom isn't, and that's why like Capcom games could never be nominated, even if they were the best games. There is going to be no, you know, force, you know, you don't have to pay to be nominated or anything, so the game developers and the publishers don't have to worry about that expense. So hopefully not. Dungeon Buster also wants to just point out on his side, Computer Gaming World was a bastion of great games journalism back in the 80s and 90s, but it was also a very different industry space back then. It wasn't as PR-controlled back then. Dungeon Buster earlier said, I appreciate the effort, but I'll wait and see how it pans out. So I'm going to be the only one watching this, and the rest of you are just going to wait on YouTube. Wait for the good parts at YouTube. All right. I will watch it and let you guys know if he does well or if he messes up. So we're going to take a quick music break. I'm going to rest my jaw. I'm not hurting or anything, so I guess that's good. And then we'll take your calls, and if the longer you talk, the less I'm talking, the better I'll feel. And you can tell me why I'm wrong, why I'm right. If you've played Assassin's Creed Unity with the face missing on the NPCs, or any of the other games, or if you were like me and you tried the Mario Kart 8 DLC that came out this week, what did you think of the new tracks and racers? So we can talk all about that. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
This is Billy Mitchell, Video Game Player of the Century, and I'm participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
That's right. Billy Mitchell doesn't care about your gaming awards. He's the Video Game Player of the Century. There are no more awards to be given. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be an award winner or Video Game Player of the Century. All you have to do is send an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can leave a voicemail on the toll-free number. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. There's a whole bunch of audiobooks there. Why don't you make any of them your free audiobook? All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. So, like I said, there was the new Mario Kart 8 tracks, which I played, and thankfully I did not get too get too beat up playing them, which was nice. I did play as Link, and it didn't. I mean, I didn't play. I don't like racing in the bikes for whatever reason, so I put him in the Blue Falcon, the F-Zero car, but put like the Link tires and the Hyrule stuff on it. And it was interesting. He apparently has a death stare that shows up. And there's some vines about it. His death stare is better than Luigi's, apparently. They were fun. I enjoyed what they did with the new tracks. I mean, I think a lot of people are saying that, you know, the Super Nintendo Rainbow Road's been done so many times, but it's really the best one. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase ROD. So, unintelligible man actually asked regarding the bumper. So, Billy Mitchell, what's he like in person? Essentially, he's like a really like super nice guy and very accommodating until you put a microphone in his face, and then he gets all into King of Kong movie mode. Like, he just completely, his demeanor completely changes. He's the nicest guy until the microphone goes on, and then it changes, and then he turns into that guy because he knows that's his persona. So we have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is ActDeft.
ActDeft, what's up, man?
Well, you're talking about the Mario Kart 8 tracks, and
yes.
I also got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to talk about them, too.
Go for it.
Well, pretty much, I liked them all. They were really good tracks. Mm-hmm.
worth your however much you paid for them?
Oh yeah, definitely. I paid for the for both the DLCs packs, the both of them already. But yeah, this one was pretty much worth the amount I paid. I think $12 I paid.
Yeah,
this pack was pretty much worth it. So yeah.
And it's really, if you know you're going to get both, you might as well go ahead and get the $12 version instead of paying $8 each.
Yeah.
It really makes more sense that way.
Yeah, it's a really great saving. And again, it's pretty much worth it. It's, if you have Mario Kart 8, you have to pretty much get this pack. Mm-hmm. The F-Zero track, the Mute City track, it's really great. It's really fun. The Hyrule track, I don't remember the name exactly, the one from Zelda. It's also really fun, really exciting to play in. Even the two new tracks are really great, especially the dragon one. I also don't remember the name, but
yeah.
It's a dragon. And it's also really, really fun. And the old tracks that got remade for Mario Kart 8, they're also really great. I'm a fan of Rainbow Road from the Super Nintendo days, and it's probably my favorite Rainbow Road. So seeing it again, despite people maybe saying that it's been redone many times but it hasn't really.
We just think it has because it's the first Rainbow Road.
Yeah. Heck, I think the 64 one has been made like many times, but oh well. Still, it's really great. The music, oh my god, the music is so fantastic. Even though some people didn't like it, but oh my god, it's again. If you have Mario Kart 8 and you've been questioning on getting the DLC, get it right now or after the show or after listening to the podcast. It's again really great.
And I think this is the interesting thing about it, because Mario Kart 8 came out months ago, came out in June.
Yeah.
And a lot of people might have, like, put it aside, you know, because other games have come out now. And now they're reintroducing people, and people are going back into Mario Kart 8. And it's re-energizing people, and they've added amiibo support and all that stuff. And then they're going to do it again next May, 12 months after it's come out. And so do you think that, you know, this is going to get people to maybe buy Mario Kart 8 later? Because now there's going to be new content coming out in May. That somebody may want. You know, maybe somebody's a huge Animal Crossing fan and is not going to buy Mario Kart 8 until Animal Crossing comes out. But this also keeps the online servers filled up, because there's going to be people now coming back to play online now that they've got the DLC.
Well, I know people that... At least I know four of my friends that bought a Wii U this weekend. Mm-hmm. Just for... of course, it's for Smash Brothers, but they also got Mario Kart 8 this weekend with their Wii U's. Mm-hmm. So I know that those people are gonna get the DLC. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you were saying, it's, even though the community for Mario Kart 8, while active, it did die a little. Mm-hmm. The DLC brought it back to life again, and in May it's gonna be the same.
Yeah.
Because yeah, all the people that have already bought the 2-pack DLC are gonna get it, are gonna download it on May. And they're gonna play again. Mm-hmm. I had not forgotten about Mario Kart 8, but it had been a while since I last played it. And playing it again, and seeing all the new tracks and seeing all the people online too, it's really, really awesome. If you have a Wii U, don't have Mario Kart 8, I don't know what you're waiting for.
One thing that sucks that I realized is that apparently with the 3.0 update, I can't upload to YouTube anymore.
Oh yeah, I have the problem too. Though I was investigating a little online, and yeah, a lot of people that are having that problem. It's probably gonna get patched soon, but yeah, it sucks because I have a replay that I want to upload.
Yeah. So we should I should get my ass kicked online by you guys again sometime.
Yeah, we should.
We should do another tournament or something, because we did that launch tournament and then I was gone and couldn't even participate in it. So we should do tournament.
Yeah, now it's the right time to do it. So, yeah.
Before Smash Brothers comes out and everybody forgets about Mario Kart.
That too.
Anything else on your mind, man?
Pretty much it. I'm just waiting for Smash Brothers, and I have pre-ordered, and I have two amiibos pre-ordered too. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
I can't wait to die in Smash Brothers because I am going to get the Wii U version. I skipped the 3DS version, but I am going to be getting the Wii U version.
Yeah, the Wii U version is going to be the definite version. So again, it's another must-have for Wii U. It's a really great time to be a Wii U owner, mm-hmm. really.
And we kind of knew this was going to happen. It's a couple years after it came out, but we knew that this is how long it would take. And yeah. now there's a whole lot of games that people should, you know, that people would like to play that are on the Wii U and only on the Wii U. So
and hopefully it will be the same for the other consoles, PS4 and the Xbox yep. One. Probably right now there aren't many games to play on them, but yeah, there's things coming, and there's a lot of stuff to look forward to, or for all the consoles really. Yeah. So it's great.
It's a great time to be a gamer if you have money.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Yeah, lots of great stuff coming out now for Wii U, and you know, lots of great stuff in development. We'll probably learn more at the Game Awards that nobody's going to watch, apparently, of what's coming out on the other consoles and on PC. There are Black Friday deals all out there. I don't know what they are because I do not... I do not take part in Black Friday. I do not leave my house on that day. That is a day I stay far away because I live near a mall, and I don't want to be driving out in that. So we have another caller on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hi, this is Raginator.
Raginator, what's up, man?
Not a whole lot. I know I'm kind of late to the party on this conversation, but I want to bring something up that you had mentioned last week.
Okay.
I believe it was last week you were mentioning that the Steam version of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas
yes.
had been updated where they basically took out certain things like certain tracks, front stations, amongst other things.
Yep.
And the thing is, I can't understand them taking out from new sales that are happening after a certain point because licensing issues. But if you already had the game in your library, mm-hmm. I think it's total BS.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you mentioned it yourself. You paid for the game. You know, you should not lose content because of it. So I agree with you 100% on that. So.
And people say I'm anti-consumer.
Yeah, well, I call BS on that then.
because, I mean, if people weren't listening last week or skipped that podcast, basically Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, they removed 14 music tracks and a bunch of resolutions, basically to keep it more in line with the Xbox 360 remake that just came out. But people already paid for the music licenses, and the people already got paid, so you can't just, like, take them out. And that's exactly what they did. And so what a lot of people are saying is reject the update. Don't update. Since it's not an online game without mods, there's no reason to update it in Steam. But a lot of us, we have automatic updates turned on in Steam. So, shucks, they're gone. But you can mod everything back in. I think people have already, even like all the music tracks, you can mod back in.
I would do that, but... To be honest, I'm still fairly new to gaming, PC gaming, so I don't know the first thing about modding games.
Yeah.
Now, since we're sort of on the subject of game soundtracks, mm-hmm. I know that Steam does sell some game soundtracks. Mm-hmm. They sell it as DLC. Mm-hmm. Now, aside from Steam itself, do you know of any other outlets out there, be it brick-and-mortar stores or... on the internet to sell game soundtracks as well?
It depends. A lot of times, like Humble Bundle or the Humble Store, will have soundtracks available. Or it's more in indie games. I'll give you two different answers. For indie games, you'll can find them on usually as a part of the game purchase, or like the Humble Bundle. There's like a game music bundle that sometimes come out. And a lot of times the actual composers themselves will sell it. like Disaster Piece sold the Fez soundtrack on his own site. So that's where you'll find those. For AAA soundtracks, Something Else Music, it's SUMTHINGLs, they actually do actual CD releases of a lot of the AAA soundtrack, a lot of Microsoft games and stuff like that. And they'll be available on iTunes or Spotify or anywhere. And sometimes, like I remember FYE, when I used to have an FYE near me, they would actually sell the actual CDs. So it really depends. Your best bet's going to be iTunes or Spotify or something like that for the AAA. And then on the indie game side, you know, look for the composer and see if they're selling it themselves.
Oh, all right. Well, no, thank you very much. It's definitely, taking my call is definitely appreciated.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you have a nice night.
You too. So, coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much longer than I do, and they're going to be spending a lot of money on games. At least Rob is going to be spending a lot of money on games, so we're going to talk about that. And whenever Skype decides that I can stop vamping and we can actually get... There we go. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Yes, we're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. Are you already like... counting out the money that you're going to be spending on games next week? That's why it was late?
No, you called right when I was running to the front door to let in one of my co-hosts. So it's just a case of excellent timing.
Perfect.
Yes, but we're good.
So you're already counting out the money for what you're buying next week?
Don't remember. I actually do have to count it out because Shane Alinko volunteered to run to GameStop because he already has, and that way I don't have to set foot in one. He already has something on, like, the Dragon Age, I think, on pre-order there for Monday. And he's like, so you want me to get you a copy of Dragon Age? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You want to play Heroes Power? You're going to do it? So I was like, all right, here's counting out money for Dragon Age, counting out money for Little Big Planet 3.
No.
That's my Tuesday. And then Friday is Smash Brothers Wii U. And, yeah, I may have bought three Amiibos. So the three Amiibos.
I'm sorry, but I don't believe I heard Grand Theft Auto 5 as part of
that. Oh, gosh, that's out next week too, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I just spent $250 next week.
Did you ever get the last-gen versions? Did you ever play it?
No, I never did get 5. No, I got 4, but not 5.
Because I know that was kind of a running thing.
I was waiting this whole time. We all knew this was going to happen.
I'm downloading it right now because they're letting me preload the thing. So if they're, as long as they're not dicks like Activision blocking share play, then maybe you can share play.
That'd be fun. We'll see.
I heard that you can share play Grand Theft Auto. I think they've already stated that.
Oh, good.
I think I remember reading that Rockstar actually confirmed they're allowing share play.
Maybe, well, that's good.
Maybe there'll be a Black Friday sale then for Grand Theft Auto. I can
probably
wait a little bit. Yeah, wait a little bit on that one.
So you played the Mario Kart 8 tracks, I believe?
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of them?
I overall liked it. There were some highlights and lowlights. A lot of the music was really good, like the Excitebike remix I thought was particularly good. Even if the course itself, I found the course to be a little dull, but I got what they were trying to do. Like for what the Excitebike Arena was trying to be, which was a modern emulation in a way of the old school Excitebike tracks, it worked. But it's just I didn't find it was as much fun to play in practice. And Act Deft, during his call, was talking about that he knew some people disagreed with him on Twitter. He's talking about me, because I was not a fan of the Mute City remix at all that they used in the game. I was like, "What is this, like a Kenny G solo on my Mute City?" And Act Deft said, but it's jazz. Mario Kart soundtrack is jazz. I'm like, that doesn't mean I like it. F-Zero is totally a different type of music to me, and just, I don't know, it didn't work. The F-Zero track in particular was very strange to me, because it just felt like... It really felt like a skin on a very Mario Kart-esque track. I mean, yeah, the track didn't really have anything that made it F-Zero notable. I mean, yeah, I know they tried to do the electric sides and things like that, but it's just, I don't know, it just felt like a Mario Kart track to me with a F-Zero paint on it. But, I mean, it wasn't, like, awful. I'm not sitting here going, don't get it, oh my gosh, no. Nintendo does really good DLC, and overall the pack is very, very good. I was just kind of like... I want my proper F-Zero game. Is that so
I
wrong?
Do, too.
But Hyrule track's the best part, and the music on that's great, and the track is great, and the little touches, like the changes to rupees, and the fact that when you run over the question mark blocks, it goes do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like with the little, that little stuff is what really makes it, and that's what Nintendo does so well with the nostalgia bone.
We just wish they did everything else so well, too.
Yeah, sometimes.
Like making an F-Zero game.
Yeah, that too.
Actual F-Zero game. Mm-hmm. They're teasing us. Like Nintendo Land had F-Zero in it.
Very rude.
And then this, and next thing you know, like the next Animal Crossing is going to have an F-Zero thing in it.
Maybe after Pikmin 5.
Yeah, I'm still hoping maybe it'll be a thing for E3 next year, but I think it'll be is Star Fox confirmed for early 2015, or is that
I
likely?
Think it's next year sometime.
So
fourth quarter.
Star Fox and Zelda are probably your holiday titles. I'm not sure if there's a lot of room in there for something else. I know a lot of people are thinking Animal Crossing, but I sort of think Animal Crossing will be 2016. Maybe that's when finally an F-Zero title will show up. I don't know, but whatever.
Nintendo Eric RPG in chat says Nintendo doesn't want a new F-Zero just to troll me and you.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's a very Reggie thing.
Mm-hmm. Havoc978 in chat is saying Nintendo does really good DLC. What universe is this? I'm just calling it like I see it. Like I realize Nintendo took forever to get on the bandwagon, but they've done it very well. Like there's no horse armor to be found in Nintendo's DLC. I mean, well, I guess there is the Mercedes cars, but that was free.
But those were free.
It's free, so that's fine. Yeah, a lot of the DLC that they've been charging money for, like new Super Luigi Brothers, was practically a whole other game running in the Mario engine. So, I mean, they do DLC pretty well. I can't knock them. They do DLC that's worth the wait.
And to be fair, like I don't buy that much DLC, but I tend to buy mostly Nintendo DLC.
Mm-hmm. Nintendo's doing it pretty well, and they really are good at, you know, you talked earlier in the show about kind of that launch day fever versus a long tail game, and Nintendo sees DLC as a way to long tail their game, I think, more than a lot of other developers do. I think a lot of other developers try to push out as much DLC as they can in those first couple months to really hit all the people that buy the game, but I think Nintendo kind of looks at it as, you know what, we're gonna long tail some of this DLC. And maybe with the position that the Wii U is in, maybe they kind of have to do that. Mm-hmm. But,
So what is you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Oh, what else are we going to be talking about tonight? Obviously a lot of the stuff that's going on with the Assassin's Creed game, we want to get into some of that as well. We might actually talk about ethics in games journalism tonight.
Wow.
So, yeah, as you did as well. So we'll get into that because certainly a lot of folks have a lot of opinions on that. And I know there's fans. I think the thing that's getting left out is a lot of people that are commenting haven't really played the game, which, to be fair, I'm one of them. And full disclosure, I haven't played the game.
I watched Dungeon Buster play it for hours on Twitch.
I have tweets and other things to go off of. But I feel bad for, like, fans of Assassin's Creed who are really invested in this, and this is kind of the product that they get is really not up to par in some ways. Like,
hey.
It
could be worse. You could be Sonic fans.
Well, yeah, right. Well, that's another thing we'll get into. But it does seem like underneath that rushed layer of, oops, we have a lot of technical glitches, it does seem like there is a good game in there. So I almost feel bad for the people that are really trying to stick by it, you know. But anyway, so we'll talk about some of that.
But it did appear that they had trouble rendering women.
And men. Who knew?
Apparently they just have trouble rendering anything.
Who knew? Exactly.
They're all Five Nights at Freddy's characters.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. And drama. You know, that isn't the only launch drama going on in the world. World of Warcraft got a new expansion this week. And, yeah, there's a lot of drama around that, too.
And it shut down Reddit.
It did. Oh, my God. Oh, the Reddit drama is crazy pants. And we'll get into that as well.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, as always, Bobby.
So that's it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Pacific, here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly, but not the following week. We will be back next Sunday, but not the Sunday after. There may be a taped show. Depends on if somebody wants to talk. If you're a developer and want to do a pre-taped interview for the 30th show about your upcoming game, pretty soon upcoming game, not necessarily Kickstarter, let me know. contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can leave me a voicemail or a bumper on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can email me an MP3 to bumpers at bobbyblackwolf.com. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/bobbyblackwolf, or Twitter at bobbyblackwolf, or you can submit questions via my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, DJ Ronma S, Sky, VHHNXV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Nexion, Actdeft, Alan Alchemy, Bacon Bits, Binary667, Buchigawa, Brad from Podculture, Brokeman, Burr, Seal, DeBlue Guy, Dungeon Buster, Eric K, Eswat, Hitstun, Ikuma JP, Hijudo, Kenzie Cat, Kazan, Matt Q, Melted General, Monster B, MXC, MXT, Neek, Orange Wright, Raginator, Sync Slip, The Rob D, Tiger Claw, Toagak True, Warrior Bob, Yogazilla, and Zappy. So that's it for me. I will be back next Sunday with Smash Brothers. I will have lost so many times in Smash Brothers. I will be raging, and it will be hilarious for the rest of you, I guess. See you then. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.